Hello, this is James Grundvig with Unrestricted Warfare on Decentralized.media with returning guests Ian Ferguson, an expert in the cult and many other historical things worldwide. And do we have a show in store for you today? It's unbelievable. I'm not going to waste any time reading the first video on Kazakhstan, because is that where the one world government religion control grid AI going to be located? I think it's a possibility, and this is kind of a mind blower. This video is coming up.
What would you think if I could take you to a place where the 200 fallen angels built a boardroom for them to all meet? It would have to be at the top of a finished pyramid, at the end of a pointed sword, with a phoenix right there into the front yard. And if you clicked inside of it, it would have a round table where they could all meet together, all 200 of them. And if you go right inside the Palace of Peace and Reconciliation, I'm going to show you their boardroom. All 200 delegates meet right here in the top of this finished pyramid. It's one of the only finished pyramids I've ever seen in my life. And if you click on that little mark right there, it's going to take us down inside that hole. And that's what's underneath the Palace of the Peace and Reconciliation, where the 200 fallen angels meet. That sun shines right through the middle of that table that holds 200 people, and it goes all the way down to the middle of the floor in the basement, which is the amphitheater, and that's where all the people can meet. Says 200 seats for the world's religious meetings. Chapter 3 in Enoch 1 tells you that there were 200 fallen angels that descended in that day, and right there it tells you the names of those people, and they were the leaders of 10. I've never heard of anybody even mention this place or a Christian telling me that they went there. Okay, click on the U.S. Embassy in Astana and then zoom down right down the street and you'll see that portal right there. I thought this was super weird, but there's no pictures of it. So if you go across the street and click on that little blue dot right across the river, I'm sorry, and then roll that thing around right there and you're going to see this. It's like a portal to me.
Yeah, Stargate is really what it is. And I've heard about the Luciferians getting together somewhere in Kazakhstan. And wow, Ian, you saw this for the first time. Talk to the audience.
Yeah, so it's interesting because Kazakhstan's been on my radar a bit, and it's a very strange country. They have really limited internet and Wi-Fi is my understanding of it. It's actually fairly difficult to get in there. It's almost an empty country. I mean, it could be Tajikistan that I'm thinking of, but Kazakhstan and Tajikistan right there in Central Asia, they both have a lot going on. I think this is the country that has all the super crazy buildings of all sorts. I mean, it looked like it there from that brief little video. I sometimes get those Stan countries confused.
Yeah.
But boy, that pyramid with the sword and the phoenix symbolism in particular, the phoenix is really getting my antenna up. I wasn't sure that a full 200 people could sit around that table. Doesn't really matter. It's clearly something at a very high level, very serious thing. How new and slick it looks, it just reeks of Luciferian, you know, takeover from the Molochians, and like exactly the kind of system they want to put in place, exactly their aesthetic, very futuristic looking. It looks like you're ready to, you know, jump to hyperspace from a nearby launch pad. You know what I mean? Like that was absolutely fascinating. I hadn't seen that before. You sent it to me today and my jaw was on the floor the first time I watched it. This time I was trying to zoom in on some of the details there. I'm not sure about the fallen angels part, unless it's metaphorical. But meaning that they're people who are sort of holding that frequency as opposed to the actual incarnate angels, because they can't really physically be here. They vibrate at a different frequency than us. And the same thing is true of fallen. It's just a lower frequency. And then the angels that are above us, right? The positive angels are at frequencies above us. So fascinating video. And it does raise an antenna. It does look like that could be the landing spot. And being, like we said off camera for the show, in the middle of the BRICS, right there on this old Silk Road, you know, and basically the center of, you know, Eurasia, is very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
I agree with you on all your points. I thought the Stargate in the river was really interesting. Even if that's just symbolic, like you said, You know, it's maybe not the descendants of the fallen angels. Maybe they believe it, but
that could be that
bloodline, right? Blood, it's a possible bloodline. So that's a possibility.
That
but
could be, yes.
I don't even know any of the names of the current 200 that are sitting in that room. I will say, from a construction point of view, I used to be in construction management. I worked on Baruch College Vertical Campus, 25th in Lexington, back in 1998 to 2003. And the architects there, they built in their four or five story atrium. They built it perfectly to allow the natural light a few times in the year passing over, you know, lower Manhattan to shoot straight down in the center. So it reminded me of that project, but this is obviously far more sophisticated than the one in New York.
Yeah, that building is absolutely stunning. I mean, I have to admit, I'm kind of intrigued to go there and witness all that with my eyes, but also, like, it does seem a little scary. Like, now's not the time. Let the dust settle between the Luciferian and Malachian shadow war, and then maybe.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you got to bring a Russian guide, apparently. They speak two languages there, and English is not really well spoken in that part of the world, which is understandable.
Yeah.
It's remote, so it does play. You know, it's kind of like out of the fray of the Western world, or even the Eastern Asia with China and Taiwan and things of that nature. So it's kind of geopolitically isolated in that respect.
Yes. And see, that makes a lot of sense to me. I know at one point in time they were looking at, I want to say, Montevideo in South America was a place that was very likely. You know, a big part of the Luciferian system, something that's really blown my mind this year, is Robert Sefferer, who has a channel on YouTube. I have mixed feelings about some of his viewpoints, but he had this show about Antarctica this year that to me is the video of 2024. And in it, he talks about the post-war Nazi International. And he makes a super strong and compelling case via this man named Jason Rice that I'd never heard of before, who seems to have disappeared from the possibly literally from the face of the earth. And he claimed to be a whistleblower with the secret space program, not the nonsense one that Corey Good pushes, right? Which that's just a cover for the real deal.
Yep.
But the actual thing, to where we brought over some of that Nazi tech after the war and we're working on it. And meanwhile, the Nazis had their own program down in Argentina, elsewhere in South America, and in Antarctica. And I've come around on the idea based on that video. It just, you know, I have claircognizance. And so that video is like, boom, 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 knocking it out of the park. And he basically said they have had anti-grav and free energy, like, at a pretty sophisticated level since 1947. And that was the whole Operation High Jump, and just smacking the shit out of Robert Byrd and his flotilla that he took down there, that even had an aircraft carrier. And they got smacked by something. Wow. And he came back and he gave an interview, I want to say in Argentina or Chile, where he said, soon there'll be vehicles that can fly from pole to pole in a matter of hours, which is ludicrous speed, right? Way beyond anything that was known at the time. And he goes back and suddenly nothing. You hear nothing from him, but he reports to Forrestal, right? The Secretary of War / Secretary of Defense. And then he, a little while later, gets very sad while at the Bethesda Medical Center, goes through the plate glass window, dies under very questionable circumstances. Right after that, you have the UFOs over the White House. I think that was the Antarctic Germans. I think it was the Nazi International was the UFO display over 52. And it was to say, listen, don't mess with us. About a decade later, you get the Antarctica Treaty, to where no one will go there. There could be other reasons for it. There could be a hollow earth entrance there. There could be civilization under the ice. There could be extraterrestrial technology down there, like in The Thing.
Yep.
But I think the central reason why they have that Antarctic Treaty is the Germans. I think it's the post-war Nazi International.
I'm with you on the Fourth Reich. The other possibility of Kazakhstan and all the stands in the Caucasus, or, you know, the that part in between China and Russia, was that Tartaria? Go back to some, I'm not a Tartarian expert, but if you throw out the caps there, Gog and Magog, I'm just wondering. Yeah, and I'd love to bring a Tartarian expert on this, but I'm wondering if that's in the same region. Just
I'm
my
of
opinion.
the personal opinion, of course, people will disagree, that there are three massive psyops that have rolled out ever since. So you have Cass Sunstein come out, and in 2009 he writes a policy paper saying essentially we need to have a COINTELPRO for conspiracy theory circles, because no matter what we do, we can't stamp out 9/11 truthers.
Nope.
And he said we need to infiltrate conspiracy theory groups and promulgate fake conspiracies.
Got it.
The next year after that is, or maybe 2 years after that, is when you start seeing Flat Earth,
Yep.
massive, resurrected. You start seeing viruses don't do any harm. They're not really a thing. They're just like exomes or whatever, despite unlimited amount of money being spent on, virology and weaponized viruses, right? And that's also right around the exact same time the Rockefeller lockstep document comes out,
Yeah, 2010.
right?
Yep, that's correct.
And then not too long after that, Tartaria comes out. And I believe Tartaria is part of a wholesale attempt to completely erase and change history to get people to, some Tartarians think the Roman Empire wasn't real. There
That's
is a
insane.
significant branch of the Tartaria movement, if you will, that says the Roman Empire is not real. And here's the thing. I live
You can go find all the battlegrounds in which Rome fought in Spain, Catalonia against the Huns. I mean, coming out, all that's real. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
it's super, super real. And so what they're trying to do,
Hannibal.
they're trying to get, I know the aqueducts are still there, the roads are still there, et cetera, ad nauseum. They have
The
lichen on.
Roman Colosseum, you can't miss it.
Right. And so they contend that, there was this giant global mud flood. And I know with certainty that that's not real, because my great grandfather lived to be 100 years old, and I lived with him when I was a small child. And he would talk to me. He talked to me about his experience fighting against Pancho Villa as a Texas Ranger. He talked to me about finding Carlsbad Caverns. I mean, he guarded the people who were the first spelunkers. And he also talked about the pandemic, the 1919 pandemic, of which he almost died from. And yet
Wow.
he just forgets to mention that his mother lived through a giant global mud flood. Bullshit.
I'm
No.
with you. I'm
And
completely with
so
you, and you got
me,
some.
one of the things the Tartaria group does is they go, the only thing you can trust is these old books. Anything that's modern is fake history. And there's actually some truth to that. And all good lies require truth. But they say you got to trust only these old books. But who has those old books? Nobody, except for Google does, and Google scanned it. Or there's a specific guy on YouTube who he claims to have all these old books, and he somehow, despite being in prison, has all these old books, and he too can offer you a
Oh,
scan.
you can find old books.
No,
This
not
they're
some
antique
of these.
stores or collectors all over the world. This is nonsense.
No. Some of these books are very hard to find, because if I was doing what I'm about
I'm
to,
not disagreeing.
yeah.
I've been to a friend's house, 200-year-old Bible, right? Long before the modern King James Version has been stepped on about 20 times, right? I'm with you on that.
So what they do, I believe, is that they're trying to completely reformat history and bend it to the Malachian thing. And what they'll do is they'll say, you can only trust these old books. And who controls those old books? Who has copies? Well, they bought up most of the copies,
That's
right?
correct.
Almost all of them. So they're hyper expensive. So you have to rely on a Google scan, where they can easily cut and trim and add in whatever words they want, add in whatever descriptions they want. And then you can't verify it secondarily. Right? They get people to doubt all of history, because of course there's a lot of lies in history. But when you get people to the point to where they think the earth is flat or the Roman Empire didn't exist, you're at a completely different level of brainwashing.
Well, I'm with you on that.
And so, yes, there's maps that say Tartaria. What I believe Tartaria is it's basically an offshoot or a later description of the vestiges of the Mongolian Empire.
Yeah, that's also probably very accurate, because that's where it's located, on the other side of the Chinese wall. So
Right.
hello,
And so I
Genghis
don't think
Khan,
they're
hello.
I don't think
Genghis Khan is real.
right, obviously. I don't think that there was a high-tech civilization 200 years ago. I just don't buy that. Was there one anciently, Atlantis, or even as recently as like, the Rama Empire, where they had the vestiges of Atlantean technology? I'm super open to that. I would say I'm 98% sure that that's a thing. The Nazis were sure looking for that technology everywhere they went. But was there a super high-tech civilization 200-ish years ago, like they claim? Absolutely not. It would be impossible to hide that. There would have been living memory that would have been passed down.
Oh, I'm with you on the living memory. That is for sure. Let's go to the next video. It's called The Broken Cross to show that the symbolism of the Catholic world and the popes is not what people believe. If you're Catholic, all I can say is it's time for you to really do your own research and understand your own history, because I think you've been fooled.
Listen
Pope Paul
to this
VI, by
before
the way, is the
TikTok
first
deletes
one
it.
to introduce this bent cross or broken cross. Let's read about what this means. Pope Paul VI wrote a papal encyclical that called on the nations to abandon sovereignty to form a world government. So the Pope himself was behind this and actually called for such a government. And about this twisted cross, here's the quote for you. Paul VI made use of a sinister symbol used by Satanists in the 6th century that had been revived at the time of Vatican II. This was a bent or broken cross on which was displayed a repulsive and distorted figure of Christ, which the black magicians and sorcerers of the Middle Ages had made use of to represent the biblical term Mark of the Beast. Interesting quote. Yet not only Paul VI, but his successor, the two John Pauls, carried that object and held it up to be revered by the crowds, who had not the slightest idea that it stood for Antichrist.
Any comment on that, Ian?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was raised Catholic, and then I wandered away from it, and then I went to Notre Dame when I was 19, and I saw Latin Mass, and I was like, wow, I loved it. Turns out that's a Templar building, interestingly enough. But I was like, wow, this is amazing. I feel uplifted. Maybe I could be Catholic again. But then I went to the Vatican, and that cured me forever, because the energy is so dark and heavy there and obviously incredibly evil that I just was like, absolutely not. That said, my mother's Catholic. I know tons of Catholics who are beautiful people, true Christians.
Yep, me too.
You know, at least Catholics believe in good works, which that got stripped out in a lot of, you know, not Lutheranism, but the various different, I can't think of the Reformation, various different Latter-day Christian groups that came out. I can't think of the term for it. Non-Catholic Christians, right? A lot of them don't even have good works. So, you know, that's a joke.
And I'm not here judging anything. You know, if we were all part of this Babylon system, which infiltrated all religions, not just Catholicism, but everything. All right. The kings and queens have been fake for 200 years. I mean, all of this has been in one giant, massive global psyop.
Yeah. And I definitely have always disliked that symbol. That's the first time I've heard that specific explanation. It has some ring of truth to it, that it's something that is not a Christian symbol at all. That has its definite ring of truth. You have that insane cobra looking thing in that one hall with the like nuclear explosion Jesus thing, which is just pure evil looking. You know, you have pine cones, which is the pineal gland, and it's just a very neutral thing that points towards psychic ability. I mean, the Vatican,
that goes back to Sumeria, doesn't it? The pine cones.
Yeah, it's just a symbol for the pineal gland, which is what allows us to interact with the subtler realms, with, for example, the angels. I happen to grow up in Portland, Oregon, where they don't fluoridate the water. Very unusual, especially for a city. And that's part of the reason I have the level of psychic ability I have, is because I didn't have my pineal gland get calcified the way the vast majority of people do.
Like me and before. No, I'm with you. Let's play the next video, because this goes back to your opening on frequencies.
Yes.
Why we see some things, why we can't see some things, because they're different frequencies. And it has a lot to do, not necessarily a magician trick, but something to do with our own biological makeup. Video 3.
What do reptilians, shapeshifters, and the bells that went missing have in common? The Germans are the ones that took the bells. The Germans were also infatuated with the Vril Society, a.k.a. the reptilians. The reptilian race are the shapeshifters. Now, shapeshifting is not actually what they do. The way that they shapeshift is they take a frequency and blast it into your visual cortex, so what you are seeing is not a reptilian, so it's not actually shapeshifting, it's just changing your perception of reality. These bells were actually a defense weapon, so we could not be tricked by their frequency, trying to trick our visual cortex into believing that they were a skin suit versus a reptile. The frequency from the bells disrupted the frequency or the spell that they were putting under our visual cortex. Rebel to change the frequency. So of course they got all the bells so that they could hide among us in peace, so that we could not discover the true deception that they were placing upon us. This is the true reason why the Germans took all the bells. Everyone's saying, oh, they took all the bells. Why did they take the bells? This is why, because they are in bed with the reptilian race and they are allowing them to walk among us rent-free without us even knowing, right under our nose. Yes, I understand that the bells could be used for a healing frequency and they could be healing the body. This is how they kill two birds with one stone. They take away our ability to heal, and they take away our ability to visually recognize the reptilians that walk amongst us. Everything is starting to make sense. It's time to wake up, people. Let me know in the comments if it checks out. Peace.
Interesting.
Well, so I would say that some of that was correct, and some of that was, I do not feel it's accurate. So the bells definitely like would emit a healing frequency. They also did elevate people's consciousness. It made them less susceptible to mind control, which I think was one of the primary reasons the Germans didn't want it around. You know, not Goebbels. Gosh, I'm trying to think. What was the name of the German who Rudolf Hess? When Hess gives this big long speech at Nuremberg. You got to look it up. And he starts out, and it's not clear where he's headed, but he says, you may have noticed in the past several years that in Holland and in England, there have been many politicians who behaved in a very strange way. Politicians who seem very patriotic and very loyal to their constituencies would suddenly take a 180-degree turn from what they had previously been doing. They then often were noted to have things like slack lips and glassy eyes. And these people were all under mind control, just like the high command. They ran over, cut his mic, and dragged him off, and he never went before a microphone again. But he said the high command was under mind control. And that clearly extended beyond just Germany, because he was saying it was in the English and Dutch political class as well. So who ran this mind control? Well, yes, there is something to the reptilians and mind control. There is something to it. But at this point, what I've been shown is that as we get near to the end of Kali Yuga, which ends actually next March 21st, 2025, and there's going to be dramatic events between now and then, and we'll continue after that. This is the shadow war I talked about between the Luciferians and the Molochians, where those of us who are most high affiliated really would do best to batten down the hatches, take care of our communities and neighbors, take care of ourselves, get right with God, right? Do that internal work. But we should, in my opinion, by and large, stay out of what's about to unfold, which is the shadow war is about to come out into the light between these two groups. So what has happened, according to the angels, is that extraterrestrial influences have been removed. Because what's happening right now is about the spiritual evolution of humanity. And actually a much greater extraterrestrial force has come in and essentially has removed 98% of the influence of these other groups. And we're on our own, which is actually a good thing. We have to navigate this bottleneck event that the angels talk about that's upcoming, to where all these, you know, they talk about it in the Project Looking Glass. Yep. All the timelines are collapsing to a singular timeline. And this is the spiritual awakening of humanity as we shift from the Kali Yuga into the sort of intermediary period between the Kali Yuga and the Dwapara Yuga, between the Iron Age, the lowest consciousness, towards the Dwapara Yuga, which is a much higher consciousness. Bibbo Dev Mizra is of the opinion that this is activated when the active galactic nucleus puts out a huge amount of negatively charged ionic radiation from the galactic center, and that's what shifts humanity's consciousness as we move through these yugas. Regardless of the source, we are coming up on massive spiritual awakening. For many people, that looks first like a political awakening and coming to grips with the nightmare of, holy shit, Babylonian black sorcerers run the planet, will cause a dark night of the soul, and then will cause people to have a choice. Do I stay with fear or do I move into love? Do I love thy neighbor as thyself, or at least move in that direction? Many will be caught up in the false light of Luciferianism, which is the dawning age, narcissism, right? As opposed to the self-hatred of the Molochians projected outward. It's narcissism. But some of us are moving in the direction of love thy neighbor as thyself, the core teaching of Yeshua Jesus. And so for those of us who are moving in that direction, we'll have a very different experience of these next few years than those who are stuck in Molochian consciousness are almost certainly going to come to a terrible end. And then people who are in Luciferian consciousness will be ascendant in terms of power, wealth, and domination. But we will be able to, for the first time in 6,000 years, have communities that the angels have described to me as golden age enclaves. We'll be able to have groups that can trade with one another, can educate our children as we wish, all that kind of stuff. As long as we don't challenge the Luciferians for control of the planet, they don't care if we go off to the side and do our own thing. And so that's actually a project that I'm working on with. I do VIP concierge, just astrological services for high-end clients,
Right.
investment bankers, people there. I can't say which ones or give away the identity, but
You don't need
very
to.
prominent banks, a world famous family that I can't, their name is super well known, people who are CEOs, this kind of thing. And I'm trying to help these people who are at this high level. We just had this eclipse, right? And it was in the Vedic lunar mansion or nakshatra of Ravati, which is both wealth and also humanitarian ideals. It's spiritual wisdom acted upon. And
Love it.
so I'm attracting to me, and there's other people working on this already all over the planet who were working on it before I even had this download from the angels. But people are being attracted to me and to other people who are on a similar soul mission to start bringing about these golden age enclaves. That's just the term the angels use. And so it's up to us to not only make sure that Moloch and his minions are thrown back into the pit of the lower astral, but also to begin planting these seeds for the coming golden age, for when Yeshua would be an average Joe in terms of behavior, you know? And I'd say that without any disrespect. What I mean is,
I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. It's called the gospel is a living document.
yes.
We're all going to come a part of the living teachings of Yeshua, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's going to be a beautiful world. So love will
These
be at the
next
core.
few,
Love and truth will be at the core.
yeah, and these next few years are going to be very dicey, and that's why I say to people, now's the time for planning, for battening down the hatches, for forming community, for doing that internal work. And then once the dust settles, once the Luciferians, take out the Molochians, you call it the alliance, so we can go into that if you want. Once they are ascendant, then we can then start doing the work we need to do to plant the seeds for the next. For the golden age, which comes after the bronze and silver ages.
Yeah, love it, right? And this really fits Daniel's prophecy. And there's no rapture in the book of Revelation. It is about removal. God is removing the enemy, the system of enslavement. We're
Yes.
in a removal process, not a rapture process.
Yes, absolutely. And I was probably one of the only people in the, I don't know, woo-woo spiritual crowd that was not calling for vast global disasters for the eclipse. I knew that wasn't going to happen. I knew that it was being used to harvest loosh to get people upset in order to do a real ritual behind the scenes, which will then take place over time here in the future. Probably in the next 3 weeks to 3 months, we'll see what the Molochians were working on during this eclipse and harvesting everyone's fear. It's why you can't succumb to fear in the black pill. You have to
Well,
be adamant.
I completely agree. I didn't fear it. I thought it was an opportunity for people like stop living in fear, right?
Yeah.
And start embracing the light and the love and the truth and go forward. Just
I love it.
let go of the fear. So this is
Yeah.
episode 73 with Ian Ferguson, One World Demonic Order. We are absolutely in this tug of war between good and evil. I want to just read some of the names of the watchers or the angels that fell. This is out of the Book of Enoch. So Sem Yaza, who was their leader, Yura Kiba, Ramiel, Kokabil, Tamil, Ramil, Daniel, Ezekiel, Barkil, Azel. So I'm not an expert on Mideast languages. It's just, you know, bear with me, people. Armoros, Enel, Ezekiel, Samuzil, Satil, Turiel, Yomil, Azra, Zeal. And so what's interesting, there were, I don't know if there's 22 names here, but there are 22 fallen angels that are the stars in the Paramount movies. And you see Mount Harmon. And those stars come down and they go swish around like that. And that is what Paramount is telling us. Paramount is telling us they're with the fallen angels. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, well, one thing I would say is I would urge people not to do what you just did and invoke those names. Words are spells, and like, honestly, the fallen angels, it's probably just as well that you didn't pronounce most of them correctly, because I actually literally was like, okay, I'm just going to center myself while I hear these words, because I even cringe sometimes to hear myself say Moloch, right? Because that's a very heavy, very dark energy. I've sort of like inured myself to that, but the fallen angels are at a completely different frequency, and in some ways you could argue darker than a lot of these cliphotic demonic spirits like Moloch, because have fallen from such grace. They've gone so deeply into the lower astral. In some ways they're much more dangerous than the demons, and much more they have an insane zeal and righteousness that you don't find among the demons. The demons are very like exalting and tricking you kind of energy, or dominating you. But the fallen angels are, their minds completely warped. And they have a zeal as though they were still on the side of the Most High, and they're blind to their own evil in a certain way. They're just completely blind to it somehow. Lucifer is the only one who gets who and what it is.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is Ezra Cohen posted this morning. CERN, I guess CERN's lead scientist is no more. So I got word anyways that the Alliance is in control of CERN, that it wasn't going to open a demonic portal on the eclipse. And this is now Wednesday, so it's 2 days after the eclipse, and we're going to be free and clear.
Yeah, I don't think they turned it on, actually. I just intuitively don't think they turned it on. I think that was the plan, but they didn't do it.
Right, it was the plan. And we're going to show a brief video on this, our last video for the show, but DC's a pentagram. It was always laid out that way.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, a broken pentagram, and I'll save it for the video. But let's go look at some of the Washington stuff. So the Washington Monument is clearly, is Baal Shath or Osiris, whatever, but it's an obelisk. It is a pagan sign.
Yes.
Ian.
Yeah, so... I'm not sure where that picture to the right, like who came up with that term. It's the penis or lingam of Osiris,
right?
Osiris died, was cut up into Set, right? Which is much more like Baal or Moloch, yep. Right? They cut he cut Osiris into 13 pieces, and Isis was able to retrieve 12 of the 13, but not his penis. So she replaced it with stone, with a stone penis, and then resurrected him. In fact, there's a lot of crossover between the mythos of Osiris, Mithras, and Jesus, Yeshua. They're all about resurrection after the sun stops in the sky for 3 days, right? It's at the lowest point in the sky during the winter solstice, and then for 3 days afterwards. And then on the 25th day, after being crucified and hanging still in the sky, it begins its forward motion again. It's the only time of the year where it doesn't move like that. So yes, it's pagan. Yes, it's to do with Osiris, but it's Osiris's energy is completely in opposition to Set, Moloch, Saturn, Kronos. It's not the same. There's a lot of misinformation out there about occultism and esoteric stuff, and you have to be careful, because there's a lot of Christians who see anything that isn't Christian as pure evil. And I like to say, you know, I teach angelic magic, theurgic angelic magic, where you work with the angels. I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment. Why? Because we have a right to defend ourselves. What if I told you that the first thing the Molochians did was disarm everyone of magic, astrology, divination, all these tools that they use, because they don't want you to be able to fight back against demonic forces. That's why I'm actually having an angelic magic class here in May 16th. And it's actually about you, when you do demonic magic, it's evocation. It's changing the world to your will. When you do angelic magic, it's invocation. You invite the angels in to help you see your blind spots, to help integrate your shadow, and to start bringing you in greater alignment with natural law, with the creator of this earth realm, the Most High, that Jesus Yeshua said is my father, right?
Yep.
That Jesus Yeshua came as an emissary and messenger of. Jesus has now ascended to the right hand of the Father and is a deity in his own right on this planet. But when he came to us to give us a way to live. Not so we put 10% on the plate and then step over homeless people and tell everyone to fuck off. But we feel like, well, I got my get out of jail free card. I gave 10% on the plate. You know, no, we're supposed to be like Yeshua and love thy neighbor as thyself. So.
Correct. And love thy God, right?
Yes, yes. And the greatest thing is to submit to God and to be a vehicle for that energy to come through you. So that way you transform yourself and everything around you, and everyone you come in contact with, their vibration is raised.
Yep. Let's talk about Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. has a really weird history. And I don't believe it's D.C. anymore. It's not the District of Columbia anymore. I think it's plain old Washington. And we'll get into that in a minute, but I want to show part of this 14-minute video. So bear with me, audience. I'll be with you in a second.
Hey guys, welcome to Peace Through Truth. I just want to make a quick video on this Monday, June 1st, 2015. And this be iniquity.com. All right. But when he is that Washington shapes in the street, I noticed a pyramid at one point. But when you get down to it, the White House is right here, which happens to be located in what looks to be a large owl, coincidentally. And then you have it located at the direct south point of a broken pentagram here. Now that would be like the horns of the Baphomet, you know? And then the only thing that's not connected is this last street. The broken pentagram. Now, with the streets and everything the way that is, that's not too clear. So I went ahead and decided I'll try out the old John Madden effect for the first time and see if I can't manage to draw it out here. Does everybody see that? The White House is right there. Now, the point I want to bring up about this is these streets were laid a long time ago, as far as I know.
Yes, a long time ago. Not disagreeing. Washington was always kind of laid out along with Osiris' Shaft. And there's a lot of Freemasons / Illuminati stuff that's in Washington, D.C. Apparently, after Trump left, the White House was actually exposed for underground tunnels, apparently, from my inside sources. Same thing with the Capitol building. The tunnels are not just for people to escape a nuclear blast. No, you're for child sex trafficking, is a belief, right? And we'll learn if that's true or not later on. It's not important at this point. But what is important is we know federal buildings on ground are being completely dismantled. Federal Reserve has got a body condom around it, which tells me as a construction worker that I used to be in the construction management business, they're remediating asbestos and lead. Why are they doing that? Well, if that building somehow gets blown up in some kind of terrorist attack in the near future, interesting. It's gonna blow all the dust that building everywhere.
Mm.
So that is why they're doing that to that particular building. They're not taking it apart piece by piece. They're just removing the bad stuff that's going to be aerosolized in a blast. That is my opinion from 30 years of work in that industry, right? I've also talked to Alex Collier. Apparently, the historical archives of the United States are being set in two places, both the high ground. I don't know if there's a tidal wave coming to the East Coast, but two high ground. So one's being Atlanta. So Atlanta is not on the coast. Atlanta is 5 miles in from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, 5 hour drive. It's also up at a high elevation. The other one is Denver, Colorado, which we know is a mile high, right? So we know that's high elevation. So those are the two. And then there's talk about Denver being the new headquarters for the future government, the Republic of the United States, not the Crown Corporation USA Inc. that was Washington, D.C. It was a maritime port set up in 1874 to force Ulysses S. Grant and the Congress, the 41st Congress, to basically pay back all the money they borrowed, right, for the North, right, to defeat the South. They owed tons and tons of money in the day back to the British Crown. So, of course, the British Crown set up the maritime port, whole different set of laws. That's why J6 is a little upside down, because they're not following the U.S. Constitution, not following any local law in the other states. It's kind of, and it did happen before Trump left office. Trump left office, 14 days after the J6 event. So I don't know if Trump leaving office, did that finally dissolve USA Incorporated? I'm not sure. We're going to learn how it all worked. But every time we hear $34 trillion in debt with U.S., that is related to only the corporation, United States, which is tied to the Rothschilds, a private bank. It's neither federal nor reserve. That is being completely dismantled. IRS will go with it at some point in their future. And by the way, when I saw my accountant on Monday this week, he said in the whole state of Florida, they're going to be brand new driver's license. And right away, that little piece of information connected to everything else I know about Washington, that the plan, the Q plan, is to install the original Republic of the United States Constitution, not the one that's been stepped on by the Rothschilds, right, in the War of 1812, not the ones that have been rewritten by the French or aristocracy or whoever. The original founding fathers, that's the plan. So if the entire state of Florida is getting new driver's license, and there's no announcement yet in the state, but this accountant knew about it, I thought that was really interesting. I was looking at my license. And that piece, it makes sense, because we're not going to a Department of Motor Vehicles. We're not going to any of these subsidiary corporations anymore at the county, town, city, state level. They're all subsidiaries of the U.S. federal government, which is a subsidiary of the Crown Corporation. All that's going away in some form. It might take a while, but it's going away. And I'm starting to find all of this actually rolling out. It was, for me, just yet another data point. This is happening. So in reality, we have $21 trillion in surplus. The Republic of the United States has a surplus, not a deficit. We're not in debt. This is the illusion. But until it all ends, until the Great Reset, and then see if the White Hats or the Alliance is in charge, which I believe we totally will be, then we're going to learn not only our fake history and how we've been enslaved through birth bonds and all that stuff, but it's going to be a lot more than that. Ian, jump in.
Wow, fantastic. Like, I just wanted to sit there and soak it all up, because it's something I know you're an expert on and something I'm still learning about. I'm 100% on board with the 1871 Corporation of the United States, all that stuff. And I've seen a lot of smoke there and even glimpses of fire here and there. So I completely agree that that is a big part of what's going on. Of course, I don't consider the so-called alliance to be white hats. I see them as gray hats.
Yep.
I see them as a massive step in the right direction. Even though I worship the Most High and I work with the angels, I am a little bit cheering on the Luciferians to kick the shit out of these Malachian pedophiles and to string them up by the neck. We're going to have Nuremberg 2.0. And just like the first one, it'll be a kangaroo court with predetermined conclusions and a highly edited story for public consumption about how great the Luciferians are. And they've never done anything bad.
Yeah, well, that part of it's propaganda, right? Propaganda is going to go away from the evil, right? Right. The most black hats. I'm agreeing with you on the gray hats. So let me explain. I was put in touch with a long-term MKUltra survivor who got into it in 1979. Won't mention names or whatever, but he was in it. He's out of it. Him and I have been communicating the last few months. I slowed that down a little bit, right? He needs some privacy and some, but he basically flat out said, there are no good guys in this I mean, there's no white hats in this fight. They're only good guys. You call them good guys. They're no great guys. They're no heroes to worship or follow, right? There's no shining knights. They're only good guys, and that's really on the gray side. I'm with you, Ian.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm of the opinion that basically the military, after the assassination of Kennedy, they investigated it on their own. They discovered what I call the Malachians. You know, you can call them Satanists if you want, which goes back to old blue blood families in Europe and really to the bankers of the Rialto in Venice, right? They liquidated their capital in 1502 after the War of the League of Cambrai, went up to the city of London and Amsterdam. Before banking in Venice and constantly bankrupting Europe, they were Roman senatorial families. And before that, they were in Tyre and Carthage. And before that, they were in Babylon. And these people are Babylonian dark magicians. So that stuff earlier about the Catholic Church is right on the money. And you see it also, you know, the micro city of the Vatican, the micro city of the city of London. And, you know, so the dark spirituality, dark banking, and then dark military, Washington, D.C., all micro states, exactly like you described. And that's in the process of being taken over by this extremely sophisticated group that for 6,000 years, the Luciferians, in order to be close to the levels of power, just like Robert Duvall in The Godfather, the Consigliere, the smart one who planned everything, got everything done, he had to kiss the ring of the Godfather, Marlon Brando. And so in this loose analogy, the Malachians have been the Godfather for the past 6,000 years. You couldn't get anything done without their say. They just had a natural law right to inflict all this harm on humanity because it's part of our dark, collective dark night of the soul. So we can go, maybe we shouldn't screw each other over all the time. Maybe we need to try something else, right? Maybe we shouldn't have self-hatred at our core. Maybe we should try something else. Hey, what about narcissism and a false light of Luciferianism? That's what we're moving into. But those very intelligent people were running the show for 6,000 years. That's one of the things that confuses people. Until 2020, these guys worked hand in glove with one another. The Luciferians had a very long-term plan to take over from the Malachians, but they couldn't truly cleave away until 2020 is when they made their move and they started to cleave away. That's why the psyops are so clumsy and shitty and obvious now. That's why you just see bumbling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everything's out in the open, and it more lights on it, the more ridiculous things appear. And then and then you got all these citizen reporters doing these short TikTok things, and they're doing, in my opinion, organically doing, without any journalism background, doing phenomenal research on the collective, on the whole. A lot of, like 75%, I really enjoy their research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I mean, the internet is an example of a Luciferian long-term plan. They tricked the Malachians into thinking we'll have this digital enslavement system. And the Malachians thought there'd be a little tiny group of websites, just an index. And then the Luciferians roll out web crawlers. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. And I mean, even if we were just hanging out one-on-one, we wouldn't be having this conversation without the internet. Sure, you and I are smart and read books. We would have figured out some amount of it. But the ability to index all this stuff and quickly search things
and
up.
Now we have AI to help. Just speed up the search, right? It's not going to give you, I don't use AI. I don't give you ChatGPT-4. Let me be clear to people. I use sometimes AI on a very obscure topic. Like when East Palestine had a train crash, you know, a year ago or 2 years, whenever it was, there was another East Palestine train crash in 2005. I didn't know that. So I asked ChatGPT what the hell happened. And then I'm able to take that information, the date and year, and it narrows my search to confirm what ChatGPT does. So I use it as a starting point on some subjects, but I never quote from it, right? It gives me a rabbit hole or a specific date or name or a location for me to go research, and that's how I use it.
Yeah, I mean, Musk is coming up with this anti-woke AI, and I'll use that. But I'm not using the Malachian AI. Hell no. I mean, yeah, I think it's useful here to use it here and there for simple things. But I watched them change it so much since they rolled it out, and it just got worse.
Yeah, Jesus is like, you know, doesn't exist. All kinds of weird things that people were trying the last year.
Yeah. And so, I wanted to go back to what we're saying about the about this changeover, this alliance. I believe that after Kennedy was killed, the military figured this all out.
Yep.
and that they've had a very long-term plan. And I would say in this case, the military was this Luciferian consciousness, right? I'm not saying that everyone who is a Luciferian worships Lucifer, though I believe some of them do. Like, I think Musk very likely does, for example. I don't know whether Trump does, but that consciousness comes through them. That level of consciousness comes through them. And yep. that deity, which is a deity, puppeteers them to some degree, gives them nudges and directions. The same way the angels nudge me in directions to help people, that Luciferian deity nudges them in directions to take over Moloch, right? And yep. and kick his ass back to the lower astral. So that Luciferian group, I think, began a multi-decade, a six-decade plan, actually, to take it back from them. And I think they've rolled out a few different things. We were talking about off camera that Reagan might have been the first attempt, and the Malachians caught wind of it and took him out. One of the things about the Luciferians is they have what's called a cloak of Luciferian confusion around them. And so very often the Malachians mistake them for one of their own. They don't really understand that energy. And the same thing happens with most high affiliated people. They see a Luciferian, they think it's a Satanist. They think it's part of the Malachian thing. But look at, let's use Musk as an example. Oh, he did the brain chip. Ian, he's got to be a bad guy. But did he, though? He was working on that for 11 or 12 years. Oh, gosh, darn it, there keeps being setbacks. Oh, we're going over budget. Oh, darn, I just can't get it done. He takes over Twitter. The first thing he does is, boom, he gets rid of pedophilia material on Twitter.
First thing.
Jack Dorsey's guy who's, he's gay, and it's different if you're gay. You can be with teen boys. Literally, that scumbag said that, right? Obviously, yeah. A pedophile. That guy wouldn't remove it. Musk got rid of it within 10 days. Here's the thing. Pedophilia is what opens the portal to the lower astral for Moloch to reach through and touch the world. So one of the first things the Luciferians are going to do is they're going to wipe that out. They have to, because it's an existential threat to them. They have to get rid of it. So when he did that, all of a sudden, the WF people realized this guy is not who we thought he was. And right after that, like a month after Trump or Musk takes over Twitter, Bezos and Gates, who are definitely Malachian, say, we're working on a brain chip too. Why would they do that? Why would they suddenly come out? Right after that, Musk says, fuck the WEF. Nobody elected these people. Then he goes to, I think it was in Dubai, the World Government Summit. And he says, we need not a top-down, no stakeholder thing. We need a horizontal meritocracy. We need Correct. To give power back to people and let the best of the best rise to the top, because the Luciferians are very meritocratic. They'll cheat. They'll use a loaded deck. They'll try and screw you over. They want global surveillance. They want a blockchain where they can search you up. They'll have every advantage they possibly can, and they'll bend every rule right to the point of breaking. But in that rigged card game, if you go, I think this deck's loaded, the Luciferian will go, oh, you're smart. We should make some money together. Let's work together. Let me take you under my wing. If you have that same situation at the Malachian, they just put a gun on the desk and they go, we're not playing cards. I'm taking your fucking money. In fact, I'm going to shoot you in the dick, harvest your organs while you're still alive, and I might go kill your family too. It's a completely different consciousness that you're dealing with when you're dealing with the Malachian. They just believe in slavery and torture and destroying innocence every time they come across it. The Luciferians, the lower end of Luciferian consciousness, is hyper ruthless and nasty and will absolutely kill without batting an eye if it forwards their agenda. And that's the upper end of Malachian consciousness, and that's where the shadow war is taking place. It's two utterly ruthless groups, one of which is kind of libertarian in general ideal, but with a stacked deck, and the other ones that are just monopoly, nepotism, slavery versus meritocracy, right? Rule of law, right? Social Darwinism. Sure, those things aren't the best. We can aim higher, but it's so much better than what we've been offered the past 6,000 years out of the Vatican and all this slavery and torture. So I'm very much on board with, popping up the popcorn. Don't be passive. I'm saying this in the sense of you are going to see incredible once in 6,000 year events over the next few years.
Yep.
I do really believe that you should try and just focus on surviving it. Anyone who's listening, but don't be passive. Form community, do your internal work, especially. That's the most important thing. Get right with God, right? Heal your trauma. Right. Work on integrating your shadow and coming to acceptance of yourself, not acting on your shadow, but integrating it, right? Accepting and healing and moving beyond. It's just like the alcoholic who has to admit they're an alcoholic before they can get rid of that, right? You have to do that about all your things. And the more you do that, the better the outcome will be when we get past this bottleneck event, this spiritual awakening that'll probably have all manner of, you know, I think there's going to be an incredible amount of violence that'll take place, but I don't think it's, you know, it's not going to be a nuclear holocaust. I mean, I think we're already in World War III, personally.
Oh, we've been since 2019. Keep going. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's fifth generational warfare. It's all economic. It's sabotage. It's propaganda, first and foremost, right? And Luciferian propaganda, this is one of the things that tricks people. People go, wait a minute, you'll have all this stuff rattled off that's just truth bomb after truth bomb, and then squatting right in the middle of it's something utterly false. That lets the Luciferians dupe the Malachians into think they're doing an Operation Trust with QAnon. Oh, no, don't worry. We're smoking out the real patriots so you can come in and execute them. But then that's not what they're really doing. What they're doing is they're planting the seeds on the periphery of society, right? In this case, the right-wing periphery, in order for it to come to the center and explain to the people who haven't been paying attention what the fuck is happening when they turn to their crazy conspiracy theorist uncle who goes, I've been waiting 4 years to tell you all this. You thought I was crazy. Here it is. Right? And they tell them the Q stuff, whatever. It's the same way that back in the 60s, there was a nested Luciferian propaganda movement within a Malachian goal. They wanted to disrupt the family. So they released the acid waves, right? The hippies, all this stuff, feminism, right? To destroy the family. That's what the Malachians wanted. But the Luciferians were using it to elevate spiritual consciousness, bring in esoteric wisdom from the East, and do things that would disrupt the Malachian structure. In a similar token, starting on the peripheries of society, we have it happening on the right, this idea of the Q thing. And it's the white hats. It's the good guys. Ding, right?
Yeah, ding, right. Ding is right.
It's the gray hats, right? They're going to ruthlessly close the, you know, I mean, they're going to execute.
Oh, we got to be ruthless with this enemy.
Oh, no, you can't turn the other cheek with these guys. That's for sure.
No, there is. I'm going to put this out there. I heard from good sources, some more than one, that the adrenochrome that the Malachians love to stay younger and harvest and all that loose, you know, the vampire energy, all of that. I heard that this adrenochrome batches for the last 4 years have been, I don't know the word, poisoned, altered, something.
Oh, I'm getting chills.
Something, because what I heard, and this is going out there, but the FEMA camps meant for Ian and I and all your truthers and lovers out there, that was supposed to be, the Malachi was supposed to round us up with UN soldiers and put us in FEMA camps. They're actually got adoption centers inside these FEMA camps. It's what I understand. This has nothing to do with the open border crisis. I'm going to take it a step further. This is something to do with the Q talked about, suicide weekend. And it also has something to do with, I'm just starting to like bring this all together. It has maybe something to do with the locusts, whatever they are, coming out of the pit of hell in Revelation, 5 months of torture. And I'm thinking, is there going to be a frequency from CERN or from 5G turned on by the gray hats that is actually going to freak out the adrenochrome people and actually force them to kill themselves? Huh. Only ones who took adrenochrome. Nothing to do with the vaccines.
The locust could just be a mistake, right? The cicadas, we have the 200-year
cicada. No, the locust, right. I asked ChatGPT and said, they came up with the original Hebrew word, went from Hebrew to Greek to English. It says it's insect, it's not locust. So you're right, cicadas.
And you know what's interesting? So there's the solar eclipse X of what I call the Trump eclipses, 2017 and 2024, right? And X, which is right at the center of the sigil of Lucifer. Right?
Twitter, X.
Yep, right. That X symbol, you see it, it's at the center of the sigil for Lucifer. If you look up the sigil of Lucifer, there's actually two X's because it's also double cross, right? Because that's Lucifer's bag is double crossing, right? Which is what's about to happen. So you have this X go across the US. It's happened once before. It happened in the early 1800s. There was an X that went right across the U.S. And at the same time, you had Napoleon, right, who was very Luciferian, trying to take over Europe. You then had the New Madrid earthquake, which I'm a little nervous that could happen again.
1811, and then you had the War of 1812.
Yes, you had the War of 1812, which was the Molochians going, no, the time's not right yet. We're burning DC to the ground. You didn't want to have a second bank of the US. Well, you're wrong. You're going to have it whether you like it or not. But 200 years ago was the last time the cicadas synced up as well.
Right, because they're 13 and 17 year cicadas, so they don't come out at night or out of the dark or out of the ground on the same time zone, but they do match up every once in a while. And it's also the Devil's Comet comes out every 71 years, Pons Brooks, which is going to be the most bright on Friday the 12th. So all of this hasn't happened since 1811, 1812.
And that was the last time there was a giant power struggle between the Molochians and the Luciferians, but it just wasn't time. If you look back on history, like the first really obvious surge of Luciferian consciousness is the Renaissance, Cosimo Medici translating the Hermetica, and that huge increase in arts and sciences, and the idea which came out of Florence that man is created in the image of God. We're a creator species. Whereas the Venetians were like, no, you're just a meat sack. It's dead materialism, right? Zero sum game. Like, the only way I can get more money is if I take your money. The Florentines said, no, a rising tide can lift all boats, right? Meritocracy, advancement in the arts and sciences. So the Moluccans drop the hammer on that, right? They bring out the Inquisition, they kill Giordano Bruno, stuff like that, but they can't put the spark out. It reemerges as the Enlightenment. Then they drop the hammer on that. They make sure that doesn't go anywhere. Then you have the Scottish Enlightenment, right? And again, the hammer's dropped on that. It moves over to the US. The greatest Luciferian document of all time, the United States Constitution, is written, right? The founding fathers. I'm not saying they were Luciferian in the sense of worshiping Lucifer. I'm saying they were at a level of consciousness that was unreal for the 1700s.
Yeah, it was.
Super elevated consciousness. Is it what we shoot for as, Christians or people who are affiliated with the Most High, regardless of what faith you are? No, we can do better, but my God, was that a step in the right direction? Yeah, they had some Malachian stuff like slavery and so forth. You couldn't completely get away from it in that point in time, but it created this opening, which has led to this conversation we're having right now. So
And
you
we're in the
have
final act of this 6,000-year-old movie, book, whatever you want to call it. This is a
absolutely.
journey. Let's just call it a journey.
It really is. It's a spiritual journey for humanity, and we're about to come out of this very, very, very dark period. But these next few years are going to be next level dicey, and you got to be fucking careful.
Ian, I'm with you. Close out 30 seconds. Tell people where they can find your work.
The main thing I do nowadays is high level VIP astrological concierge work, where I go super, super, super ultra deep on your chart in order to help you figure out what karmas are going to ripen, help you do business. JP Morgan said, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do, right? Talking about
Correct.
JP Morgan, the man. So I'm working now pretty exclusively with that set of clientele. Although until the end of April, we got another 20 days, I do charts that are at a much lower price point. I also am doing angelic magic classes, whitelotusoflight.com. So you can arm yourself up with the armor and sword of God, which is what the angels are, and you can bring yourself into greater alignment with the Most High and help completely transform your life in a super positive way. This class will actually be able to have quite a bit more people because of the way I've restructured it. So you can find that as well on my site. I also am, for some period of time, still doing generalized spiritual guidance where I can talk to the angels, bring messages through to you. Trying to think what the last thing I wanted to say was on that subject. I'm just trying to find people who are in positions of power that they feel a calling to make this world a better place. And those are the people I'm trying to advise. I've been told by the angels, and it's already happening, that I was told 3 years ago when I was a divorcee with mega debt that I'd be advising centimillionaires and billionaires, and it's happening now. The angels told me that. I had a very hard time believing that at the time. I was like, I want to believe, let that be true. But now it's unfolding. And it's just for whatever reason, I've been put in a position to where I'm meant to give spiritual guidance and counseling to people who are at higher levels of power so they can take that wealth and power that God has given them and use it and direct it in a way to help bring about a more harmonious, more loving, more compassionate planet. Because that's what this period of time is about. That's the direction we're moving.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ian. Great to see you. We'll bring you back in the near future. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you.